I stared. "Then again," she said, and smiled her cannibal smile, "we can just forget this temporary setback, and you can get to work on your next book." My next book appeared 5 standard months later. The Dying Earth 2 picked up where The Dying Earth left off, in plain prose this time. The sentence length and chapter content carefully guided by neurobio-monitored responses on a test group of 638 average HardFacts readers. The book was in novel form, short enough not to intimidate the potential buyer at Food Mart checkout stands, and the cover was a 20-second interactive hollow, wherein the tall, swarthy stranger, Amalfi Schwartz, I suppose, though Amalfi was short and pale and wore corrective lenses, rips the bodice of the struggling female just to the nipple line before the protesting blonde turns toward the viewer and cries for help in a breathless whisper, provided by Porn Holly star Lita Swan. Dying Earth 2 sold 19 million copies. "Not bad," said Terenna. "It takes a while to build an audience." "The first Dying Earth sold 3 billion copies," I said. "Pilgrim's Progress," she said. "Mein Kampf. Once in a century. Maybe less." "But it sold 3 billion. "Look," said Tyrena. "In 20th-century old Earth, a fast-food chain took dead cow meat, fried it in grease, added carcinogens, wrapped it in petroleum-based foam, and sold 900 billion units. Human beings. Go figure. Dying Earth 3 introduced the characters of Winona, the escaped slave girl who rose to the ownership of her own fiberplastic plantation. Never mind that fiberplastic never grew on old Earth. Arturo Redgrave, the dashing blockade runner. What blockade? And Innocence Sperry, the 9-year-old telepath dying of an unspecified Little Nell disease. Innocence lasted until Dying Earth 9, and on the day Transline allowed me to kill the little shit off, I went out to celebrate with a 6-day, 20-world binge. I awoke in a lung pipe on Heaven's Gate, covered with vomit and rebreather mold, nursing the web's biggest headache and the sure knowledge that I soon would have to start on Volume 10 of The Chronicles of the Dying Earth. It isn't hard being a hack writer. Between Dying Earth 2 and Dying Earth 9, 6 standard years had passed relatively painlessly. My research was meager, my plots formulaic, my characters cardboard, my prose preliterate, and my free time was my own. I traveled. I married twice more. Each wife left me with no hard feelings, but with a sizable portion of the royalties from my next Dying Earth. I explored religions and serious drinking, finding more hope of lasting solace in the latter. I kept my home, adding 6 rooms on 5 worlds, and filled it with fine art. I entertained. Writers were among my acquaintances, but at all times we tended to mistrust and badmouth each other, secretly resenting the other's successes and finding fault in their work. Each of us knew in his or her heart that he or she was a true artist of the word who merely happened to be commercial. The others were hacks. Then, on a cool morning, with my sleeping room rocking slightly in the upper branches of my tree on the Templar world, I awoke to a gray sky and the realization that my muse had fled. It had been 5 years since I had written any poetry. The Cantus lay open in the Deneb Dry Tower, only a few pages finished beyond what had been published. I had been using thought processors to write my novels, and one of these activated as I entered the study. Shit, it printed out. What did I do with my muse? It says something about the type of writing I had been doing, that my muse could flee without my noticing. For those who do not write, and who never have been stirred by the creative urge, talk of muses seems a figure of speech, a quaint conceit. But for those of us who live by the word, our muses are as real and necessary as the soft clay of language which they help to sculpt. When one is writing, really writing, it is as if one is given a fat line to the gods. No true poet has been able to explain the exhilaration one feels when the mind becomes an instrument, as surely as does the pen or thought processor, ordering and expressing the revelations flowing in from somewhere else.